Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a grateful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, and the years of your life may be many. I've taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. All of Proverbs chapter 4. Lord, thank you for the truth that your word, the whole Bible, all of the word of God is a book full of your wisdom, your supernatural wisdom that guides us, that strengthens us, that encourages us, that ministers grace to us and does so many other good things. Father, more and more with every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word and empower us to be more and more the believers you've called us to be, who are wise enough to make spending time in your word the priority in our lives that you would have us to make it. Help us to make much time for your word. Help us to listen continually. And Lord, help us to apply the wisdom and the grace that you teach us through your wonderful and blessed word. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And Lord, also help us to teach and train our children to do the same, to fill up on your wisdom on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, right now we acknowledge that your word is good. Your promises are good. Your commands are good. Father, even if we don't understand them, we right now say that you know what is best. And thank you so much, Father, for leading us in your ways. Father, we look to Jesus right now for guidance. We look to the Holy Spirit to empower us. And we look to the Holy Spirit to bring wisdom. Thank you so much, Father, for this broadcast. And we're just excited to see what you have for us today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. If you don't already have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, I hope that you'll seriously consider starting that very important habit as well. And, you know, if you're one who is quick to say, well, you know, 3 chapters is not enough for me. Wonderful. You cannot overeat the Word of God. It simply will bless you more and more and pour more grace into your life. Literally, grace is pouring into your heart and your mind and your life when you take time to read and meditate on the Word of God. So the fact is, you're a wise person to make this a high priority in your life. Today, we're looking at the topic specifically of wisdom is the principal thing. And you know, the Word of God tells us that very clearly, that the wisdom is the principal thing. And we want to kind of delve into that more so as we look at our topic for today. I want to share with you an article that we shared and based on the story of the wise men in the book of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. Now, keep in mind, the Magi, as they were called or sometimes referred to as wise men, were considered wise as it relates to their knowledge of their study of the stars. But of course, they actually exhibit supernatural wisdom beyond that discipline, that study of the stars, because they exhibit great wisdom when it comes to knowing God and running after God as well. So I want to share an article by that title. And of course, it obviously sounds like a Christmas theme, but of course, the story of the wise men is not just for Christmas. It's for all year long, and there's much wisdom we can draw from their story for all of our lives for all year long as well. But the title of this article, and of course, if you want to get a copy, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. The title of the article is Walking in the Wisdom of the Wise Men. And it opens up from reading from Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Again, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The story of the wise men coming to visit Christ is a well-known story of Christmas found in the Word of God. In Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, these chapters contain the whole Christmas story. A family is quote-unquote wise to take the time to read them all the way through as a family and individually. And keep this important truth in mind. Doing this and letting the children do most of the reading can be fun and interesting. Also, allowing them to stop and ask all the questions that they want is very fruitful. You can learn much and have a lot of fun doing this as a family. Specifically regarding the story of the wise men, there are a number of great life lessons we can learn from looking at what they did as they sought the king. Or in other words, what we can draw from the wisdom they demonstrated in their relationship with God as they sought the Lord Jesus Christ. Lesson 1, the wise men knew God, and it seems that they had a very close relationship with God. We too are wise to seek to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as our Lord and Savior by inviting him into our hearts to become the Lord and Savior of our lives. See John 3:16 and Acts 16:31. Lesson 2. The wise men sought God. They were apparently men of prayer who sought him out. And they came intending to worship the Lord. As believers, we're to seek God in prayer, praise, and worship on a daily basis. See Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, Psalm 95, verse 6, and Psalm 100. Lesson 3. The wise men listened to God. It seems that the Lord spoke to their hearts to let them know the meaning of the bright star in the sky. It also seems that the Lord directed them to go and follow the star as it would lead them to Christ. The gifts they brought were prophetic and pointed to some of the great callings upon Christ's life. Gold is a gift you give to a king. Frankincense is a gift you give to a high priest. And myrrh is a burial ointment. So these are just a few important lessons we can learn from the wise men. We see that their story is not just a warm, touching story to be read during Christmas. It's a story that can change the life of any faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ in powerful and fruitful ways. And finally, seeking and finding the Lord Jesus is a wise pursuit for all people of all times and in all places. If you'd like to know Jesus Christ personally and would like to invite him into your heart, you can pray this or similar prayer in order to make that step. So if you're listening and you've never given your life to Christ, right now is a great time to make that step. You can make this step simply if you would like to make that step. Would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I recognize that I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, forgive me for the wrong things I've done. I do believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later, you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord Jesus, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, the title of that article is Walking in the Wisdom of the Wise Men. If you'd like to get a copy of the article, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Lord, thank you once again for your word. And thank you for the fact that your word is a book full of wisdom. Wisdom for every part of our lives. Wisdom to help us to know how to honor you in every area of our life. Help us to grow in our understanding of how the word of God truly is a book of wisdom. Wisdom that we need to live a life that glorifies, pleases, and honors you, and a life that helps us to fulfill all the call of God upon our lives. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us individually and collectively to be the praying church you've called us to be. And more, Lord, help us to recognize, Lord, that there's great wisdom in living a prayer-filled life. Help us to recognize there's great wisdom in living a life where we continually read and meditate on the Word of God, and fill our hearts and our lives with your word, and anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would help us to grow in wisdom and knowing that we're called to be hearers and doers of your word continually. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, Wisdom is the Principal Thing. We'll be right back.
Tremble at the light that you bring, and when you are walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you.
Music of Brian and Katie Torwald with When You Walk Into the Room. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Wisdom is the Principal Thing. And of course that draws from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. And of course, you know, when you read different translations, the way it reads obviously is a little different, but specifically in the King James Version, it says, wisdom is the, this is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Let me share that again. Again, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. So as we're looking at the topic, wisdom is the principal thing, it's helpful to, you know, of course, obviously, to define terms as we use them. Well, what exactly is wisdom? Well, you know, it's important to know wisdom and knowledge are two different things. Knowledge is information. Wisdom is having information and knowing how to most productively and most productively utilize it. And so the fact is, for example, we live in a culture where a lot of emphasis is put on higher education, people going to college and going to universities. Well, the fact is, you don't gain wisdom per se from going to college or university. You gain knowledge, but wisdom again is having knowledge and knowing how most fruitfully to use it. And you know, wisdom actually comes from God. It's a spiritual fruit, and we're wise to seek to gain wisdom from the wisdom of God that's found in His Word. And the Word of God is a book full of supernatural wisdom. So, you know, as we read from Proverbs chapter 4 a little bit ago, Proverbs is a book that has lots of proverbs, lots of wisdom in it. But keep in mind, the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a book of wisdom. It's supernatural wisdom as we read and meditate on it. And that's one more reason why, as a believer, you and I are wise to have the habit of reading God's Word every day, because we're taking in and receiving supernatural wisdom from our Heavenly Father. But keep in mind, not only is that happening, many other important things are happening as well. When you're reading the Word of God, God is touching you. He's touching your life. He's pouring grace, peace, and light, and joy, and wisdom into your spirit and into your mind. You need that. I need that. We all need that. So it's not simply what one might would think of as an academic exercise. The Spirit of God is doing a work in you as you're taking in the supernatural wisdom of the Word of God. So again, keep in mind, reading at least three chapters in your Bible every day is not only a wise habit, but it's a supernatural habit as well. Remember, when you're reading the Word of God, you're reading a book of supernatural wisdom. Now, sometimes whether people think of it as that or not, that's beside the point. It is a book of supernatural wisdom. And as we hear it and apply it, it will bless our lives in many, many important ways. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, it tells a powerful story about young King Solomon at near the beginning of his reign. In 1 Kings, chapter 17, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words. And keep in mind, I'm sorry, 1 Kings, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And it tells us these words of insight. Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places, however, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father, only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You've shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father. Because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you, and you have kept him, and you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked. You have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Verses 1 through 14 of 1 Kings chapter 3. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read a few more verses here, continuing at verse 15. "And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants." And it was on through verse 17 of 1 Kings chapter 3. So keep in mind a very interesting account here. Early in the life of King Solomon as a young king, he comes to Gibeon and sacrifices 1,000 burnt offerings and takes time to take great steps in worshiping God. God is so pleased, God steps into Solomon's dream. And in the dream, God appears to be giving Solomon a blank check, saying to Solomon, "Solomon, ask for whatever you want to ask for." And by the grace of God and the mercy and the goodness of God, Solomon was wise enough to ask for the right thing. What was the right thing? The right thing was asking for wisdom to be a good king. God was so pleased with that God gave Solomon wisdom, but also he gave him riches and honor along with that. You know, this is an example in Scripture of someone walking out the principle that's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, let me say, in the way of a practical bit of wisdom I want to share with every single listener, you and I are wise to ask God for wisdom every day of our lives. Why is that true? Because, again, wisdom helps us to function and act in life much more wisely, productively, and effectively, whatever we may do. So no matter what kind of work you do or what line of ministry you might be in or whatever your occupation might be, if you ask God to give you wisdom to be more effective at what you do, God is not only willing to answer that prayer, He's grateful that you asked for it. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have of being able to come to you daily and ask for wisdom. Thank you for the example we have in King Solomon, who was wise enough to ask you for wisdom. Lord, thank you for all those that we've lifted up in prayer today, and thank you for all those that are part of our listening family today. Lord, today, give each and every one of us wisdom to be the effective servant of you that you've called us to be this day. Give us wisdom to do a great job at what you've called us to do and in our responsibilities as we carry them out today, and prosper the work of our hands. Thank you for each and every one of us. Bless each and every one of us indeed. Expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, keep in mind that all of the Bible is a book of wisdom. So the more you read and study the Word of God, the more you grow in wisdom, and wisdom, the wisdom of God in life and for every area of your life as well. Keep in mind, as I mentioned, asking daily for wisdom is a wise thing to do. Now, keep in mind, you may be doing a job or have a responsibility where you're very good and effective at what you do. But if you're wise enough to ask for wisdom, you know God can help someone who's very good at what they do to be even better, to be even more effective, to be even more productive in what they do. So you and I are wise to ask God for wisdom each and every day. And remember this, God's way is always the best way to do anything. And that's one more reason why reading and studying the Word of God is so wise, because remember, it's not just a book of wisdom, it's a book of supernatural wisdom. Wisdom from heaven, wisdom from the heart and the mind of God. And so, yes, God can help you be better at whatever you do, to help you be a better man of God or woman of God, help you to be a better husband, a better wife, help you to be a better father or mother, a better young boy, a young girl. The fact is, God in His Word and His wisdom is able to help us. And, of course, obviously, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit work hand in hand to help us to walk out that wisdom. And so our goal is to acquire wisdom and to live it out as well. Again, to acquire wisdom and to live it out. Now, I want to emphasize this very important point. Gaining wisdom is a good thing, but don't stop there. It's important to apply it. Remember, wisdom and truth are in essence the same thing. But keep in mind, truth and wisdom are always meant to be applied. Gaining wisdom, just to say you have wisdom, you don't want to stop there. You want to gain it in order to apply it as well. And just a few moments, it'll probably be on the other side of the break, but we'll get a chance to, I want to share from another passage that draws out the fact that, you know, without question, God gave Solomon great, great wisdom. But as we look at Solomon's life, we find out, especially later in his life, he didn't always apply the wisdom that he had. How important it is that we understand that we are to apply that wisdom. Let's take time just to go ahead and read it. Now, this is 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, "You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. So he did for all his foreign wives who made offerings and sacrificed to their gods. Verses 1 through 8, 1 Kings chapter 11. So very sadly we see in the life of Solomon, he failed to fully apply the wisdom God had given him. So keep in mind, a very important lesson we can draw from this is that once God gives us wisdom by his Spirit and his word, we're to apply it. Notice Solomon clearly disobeyed the word of God. He had 1,000 wives, and that means he had 999 too many. He should have had one wife, as well as he turned towards other gods. How sad to see that he failed to walk in the wisdom God gave him. We'll pick up there on the other side. We're looking today at the topic, Wisdom is the Principal Thing. We'll be right back. Rebecca St. James with Kingdom Come. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Wisdom is the Principal Thing. And I want to remind you that all of the Word of God, definitely, obviously, certainly, the book of Proverbs has much wisdom from the Lord to bless us with and to encourage us in our walk with God. But remember, all the other books as well, from Genesis to Revelation, they're all books of supernatural wisdom. And we're wise to understand that as we read and meditate on the Word of God, more and more we're allowing the supernatural wisdom of God to pour into our lives. And our goal is to receive it and to walk in that wisdom as we receive it. How important it is that we make that a very important goal to go after. Reminded of the story once of a dad who gave his son an assignment in his backyard. He told his son, "Son, take this crowbar, and you see that large boulder down the hill a little bit? Take the crowbar, loosen the rock, and let it go down the hill. Move it and send it down the hill." Well, the son goes out, and he struggles with the rock for 30 minutes, then an hour, And finally the dad comes out and says, okay, son, looks like you're having a hard time. I said, yeah, Dad, this is really tough. He says, well, son, why don't you use all of your strength? And the son's response was, Dad, I am using all my strength and the rock's not budging. And the dad says, well, son, what you need to do is you need to use all your strength. The son said, Dad, I'm using all my strength and it's not moving. And once again, the dad says, are you really using all your strength? Yeah, Dad, I'm using all my strength. And he said, son, no, you're not. What do you mean, Dad? He said, because you haven't asked me for help. And so the son said, Dad, would you help me move the rock? And so the dad took a few minutes and helped his son. And with working together, they were able to dislodge the rock and slowly push it on down the slight hill. Well, the fact is, a very important lesson to be drawn from the story is when you and I as believers, when we're seeking to do, to live our lives, to carry out the tasks and the challenges of life, we're not using all our strength unless we ask God for his help, his wisdom, his guidance, his help to accomplish the things we're called to carry out. Remember, all of our strength flows from God. And so we're wise to ask him for help, for guidance and grace. So in prayer and through standing on the promises of God's word, those are ways we appropriate and put to use the power and the grace of God to help us accomplish things in life. So wisdom will encourage us to live a prayer-filled life. Wise people will pray a lot and ask God for his help, his strength, his guidance, his grace. And, you know, just like we often encourage believers to pray Psalm 91 on a daily basis, we'll see there's great wisdom in praying it every day because, remember, there's great power and great help found as we pray Psalm 91 on a daily basis. Let's take time to do that even now. Lord, thank you for all those that are part of our listening family, and thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler, and so we are not afraid for the terrible night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High habitation, no evil will befall us. Neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot because we have set our love upon you. Therefore, you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You're with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, one very important point I want to remind you of is that every believer is wise to pray like Solomon and ask God for wisdom in prayer. Prayer is a means whereby we can gain much wisdom because the Holy Spirit's more than willing to give us wisdom when we ask according to the Word of God for it. I want to share with you now an article by the title. This article is entitled Jesus, Prayer, and Dr. George Washington Carver. Reading from the book of Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And of course, that's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Very much of what Jesus did in his life, believers can do as well. Christ modeled beautifully the life every believer can live. One area of our life that Christ modeled was his prayer life. And if Jesus made it a high priority to pray every day, we too would be wise to make daily prayer a high priority. The Word of God tells us, pray without ceasing. We should live our lives in a running conversation with God. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, don't worry about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. Always remember, God can do everything we can do so much better. There's no such thing as praying too much. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." A good prayer to pray just before you spend time reading the Word of God is that prayer found in Psalm 119, verse 18. Every husband and wife should try to pray together every day. And all parents should strive to pray daily with their children. Also, parents, teach and guide your children to pray every day for you and for their brothers and sisters and others as well. Dr. George Washington Carver was a great man of prayer. He was a well-known scientist who was born a slave. He has been credited with helping to save the agriculture of the South in his day. He's a great example of a believer who listened to and communed with God in prayer as a lifestyle. And he's a great example of a believer who followed and applied God's wisdom in his life. Dr. Carver would rise up early every day and would sit before the Lord, who he called Mr. Creator. There with the Lord, Dr. Carver learned secrets that bless the world. See Jeremiah chapter 33, 3. From the book, The Man Who Talks with the Flowers by Glenn Clark, Dr. George Washington Carver once stated this: "There's literally nothing that I ever wanted to do that I asked the blessed Creator to help me to do that I've not been able to accomplish. It's all very simple if one knows how to talk with the Creator. It's simply seeking the Lord and finding Him. All my life, I've risen regularly at 4 o'clock and have gone into the woods and talked with God. There He gives me my orders for the day when people are still asleep. I hear God best and learn my plan. After my morning's talk with God, I go into my laboratory and begin to carry out His wishes for the day. Make it your goal to saturate your life and your family and the concerns of your life with prayer." In 1 Samuel chapter 1, the story of Hannah has many powerful life lessons about prayer and going to God in prayer with the desires of our hearts. The gift of prayer, that is, the privilege to pray and talk to God, our Heavenly Father, is a precious gift from God. It's one of the most valuable gifts in all of life. Let's use the precious gift we have in prayer daily, wisely and continually. Be wise enough to ask God for His wisdom to carry out His work He's called you to do today, every day. When you were young and it was cold outside, with a blanket I covered you with care. Now that you are older and the world is much colder, I now cover you with a blanket of prayer. Author unknown, but a neat prayer apparently prayed by a mother somewhere. And remember, there's no such thing as praying too much. Again, the title of that article is Jesus, Prayer, and Dr. George Washington Carver. I want to challenge every single listener to learn from, first and foremost, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who made prayer a high priority. Jesus would get up early, as Mark 1:35 points out, early and go off into the woods and pray, go off into the wilderness and pray by himself with God. And Dr. George Washington Carver, too, had the habit of getting up early, going out into the woods, and he'd spend periods and seasons of prayer talking to God, asking God for wisdom about plants and about nature. God used Dr. George Washington Carver to literally to develop hundreds of products from the sweet potato and hundreds of products from peanuts. How did he do that? He asked God strategic questions about nature, and God was glad to give him the wisdom that he asked for. May we be wise enough to ask for that kind of wisdom to carry out the work God has called each one of us to as well. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege we all have to pray and ask you for wisdom, like Solomon was wise enough to ask for as well. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be a people that daily will ask you for wisdom to be the wise man or woman of God, the wise father or mother, the wise husband or wife, the wise worker on the job, the wise employer or employee that you'd have us to be. Give us the wisdom, all the wisdom this day that you desire that we have to glorify you and carry out your work. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know that you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. Would you, from your heart, take the time now to pray and give your heart to Jesus if you'd like to make that step? Would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with me right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We definitely hope to hear from you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Also, keep in mind, if you'd like to get copies of the articles we shared, the first article was entitled Walking in the Wisdom of the Wise Men, and the second article was entitled Jesus, Prayer, and Dr. George Washington Carver. If you'd like to get, again, one or both articles, simply email us, again, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. And again, we do hope to hear from all those that gave their lives to Christ today. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.